So James, you made your name with BBC Three, of course, and Gavin and Stacey back in the day. What have you made of the decision to close it as a TV channel and make it online only next year?
Well, I know I'm in a sort of public minority, but I'm kind of for it, in a way. If they were saying we're closing BBC Three and this avenue is closed to new writers and creators, then I would be as outraged as people are about it being on TV. But the truth is, provided there's still a commitment to it as a channel, and there's investment in young writers and young performers and young directors, and it's programmes that are aimed at a new and fresh audience, then actually, online is the best place for it to be, I think, because that's how people are consuming their television now. You know, TV is changing, and the way that people are watching it and consuming it is completely different, particularly a younger audience who are, you know, going to university with a laptop and maybe not a TV. And, you know, BBC Three even started, you know, their biggest shows, like Jack Whitehall's show, Bad Education, premiered on the iPlayer a week before it went on TV anyway. So I think it should always be at the forefront of what is fresh and exciting, and therefore it should be the first BBC channel to exist online.
But do you think a show like Gavin and Stacey would have broken through if it had been on only when it doesn't have that sort of simultaneous broadcast where everyone watches it at the same time?
Well, the truth is, I don't know if Gavin and Stacey would be commissioned by BBC Three today anyway. I don't know if, as a show, it would have been picked. You know, the channel has changed. It was in 2007 that we made that show. So
what's changed that would mean it wouldn't be commissioned?
Well, it's a much younger outlook, and I think our show and Nighty Night and things like that would exist, because those shows don't tend to be on BBC Three right now as they are. You know what I mean? They would probably be on BBC Two or maybe BBC Four. You know, it's always changing. People say, oh, but would you be happy for your show to go on BBC Three if it was just online? If I was sat here telling you that I've just signed a huge deal with Netflix, you'd be going, wow, that's amazing. Do you know what I mean? You can't see it as, oh, it's no longer a channel because it isn't on TV. Provided they still invest and it's still a commitment to make new and interesting shows, then its audience will find them, in the same way that you and I are really enjoying House of Cards.
And your last BBC Two series, of course, The Wrong Mans, that was a co-production with Hulu.
Yeah.
Which, like Netflix, is on demand. Is that the way you see the future? Is that the way things are going? Looking abroad, looking to different sources of revenue beyond the kind of mainstream broadcasters over here?
Well, ours, that came about because for us to make the show in the manner that we wanted it to look and feel, visually it had to look a certain way, and that takes more time, and time is the thing that costs the most money when you're filming stuff. And it was Mark Freeland, who's the Commissioner of Comedy and Drama at the BBC, who said, well, look, let me go and try and find a partner. And Hulu came in at script stage before we'd even written episode 6. They said, we like this show and we'd like to commit to making it. And it was that investment that meant that we could, I guess, just make it on a slightly bigger canvas, I guess.
And people talk about a golden age for TV drama, but what about in comedy? Is it a golden age for comedy? It feels like, from an outsider's point of view, it feels harder to get the big kind of breakout hits immediately than it did, say, 5 years ago.
I think if you look at a show like Miranda or Mrs. Brown's Boys, you know, and then you Fresh Meat and Toast of London, which I think is a really great show. But I think that in terms of drama and the dramas that we're all enjoying so much, certainly that internationally, I think have come about through a change in film, really, a change in movies. Big studios are making less films, but bigger films, if you like. Your sort of Thors and Avengers and movies like that are taking precedence, and people are perhaps not making as many small, interesting movies as they used to be. And that is meaning that there is a mass of talent who want to make their stuff in a certain way, with a certain voice, that are finding that outlet on, you know, channels like AMC and HBO and Showtime and Netflix and all of those. You know, there's a great platform there for people to tell a great story. And I've always loved television as much as I've loved film, and sometimes more. You know, I don't know if I've watched a film recently that has meant as much to me as that last season of Breaking Bad, you know, and I think that's great.
You guest edited The Sun, of course, to great acclaim, but one thing everyone noticed was you put Men on page 3, which felt like a blow for the No Page 3 movement. Was that your intention? What were your thoughts behind that?
I just felt like if I was actually in charge, if I was actually, you know, editing the paper, which, you know, it's always, how can you ever really truly, you know, be doing it? But I the biggest thing was that they were making a commitment financially to Sport Relief, which I thought was amazing. And I just didn't want to. I just didn't want to have a woman with a top off. That's it. I mean, there's no greater thing than that, really, other than I just didn't want to.
And will there be a second series of The Wrong Man's?
Yeah, we're working on something right now, and I hope people will enjoy it.